Moncrief on News Talk.
According to an article in New York magazine, having a crush on someone else can be good for your relationship, or lead to bitter divorce proceedings, I imagine. The sex therapist Emily Power-Smith joins us now to tell us if it's mad or not. Afternoon, Emily.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, I suppose you'd kind of, as we go through the world, you might go, oh God, they're attractive, or, you know, he's attractive, she's attractive, and you like the look of them. But this article seemed to be saying you had to develop something of a crush on them.
Yeah, I mean, a crush is different from what you've just described, isn't it? But does it have to be harmful? I don't think so. I think it can go into the, if we're looking at how it can help a marriage or a relationship, first of all, it's not going to help a relationship that isn't in good shape. There's no doubt about that. But if you're both secure and you're having a good relationship, then having an eye having your eye drawn by somebody else, there's no harm in that. Even fantasizing about that other person isn't a danger, because fantasies aren't plans. When they become plans, then it becomes a little bit trickier.
Mm.
Fantasy generally is not a bad thing. It can be a really good thing and enhance our own libidos.
Why can it be a good thing?
Well, put it this way. If I asked you to tell me your fantasy holiday, and every year you go to Wexford to a caravan, odds are your fantasy is not going to be a caravan in Wexford. And if it is, there's probably something wrong with that. So fantasizing about, the article mentions people like Harry Styles or people like that, that can make you feel the same way fantasizing about your best holiday, your favorite holiday, your imaginary holiday that you might never have. It gives you a bit of spark. It gives you a little bit of oomph. It makes you think about what's possible in the world. And you almost put yourself in the situation and feel like, this is my lifestyle and this is sexy, which you don't necessarily get when you remember your last trip to your caravan in Wexford.
Mm. But if you're
kind of comparing your partner to the caravan in Wexford in this case.
Yes, and one's partner mightn't feel too happy to be compared to a caravan in Wexford.
And yet that's where you go every year. Reliably, you don't go off to Barbados. So, you know, again, it's not about a plan. It's about it's fantasy. It's the sprinkles.
Yeah. Well, you see, yeah, to really hammer this analogy to death, you're going to the caravan in Wexford because that's all you can afford. If you could afford Barbados, you'd go there. So there's a bit of like, if I could do better than you, I would.
In my fantasy world, but odds are I may not actually be able to do better than that, even if I had the money in my pocket, because maybe there's other reasons why that would stop me getting to Barbados that might be, you know. We don't have to be particularly gorgeous ourselves to have these amazing fantasies, right? Like the odds of you actually hooking up with Harry Styles, pretty slim. So I think it's okay to do fantasies. When they talk about crushes in real life, about people that you know, again, if a couple can talk about it and you're both into talking about it and you both like that, then yeah, it can bring a bit of spark to your sex life even. But if one of you doesn't feel great, if the relationship isn't in a wonderful place, then it's not a good conversation to be having. The conversation needs to be more about what's wrong with our relationship. Why am I looking elsewhere? Why aren't we having something that feels sexy and meaningful? That's the conversation, not, oh, geez, did you see Jerry at the party last night? Did you see his abs? He's looking fantastic. Wouldn't mind a bit.
Yeah.
That's so helpful.
Well, I suppose it depends on your partner whether you tell them this at all, because it often strikes me that within relationships, it's okay to say so-and-so is gorgeous, who might be, you know, Harry Styles or somebody you're never going to meet and will never be in your social circle. But to say that about, there's this guy I sit next to, beside at work, God, he's gorgeous, in front of your partner, that might make him feel a bit uncomfortable, I would think.
It might, but of course, we are just talking about sex. And in reality, we stay with our partners for a lot more reasons. I'm a sex therapist. I'm all about having great sex, but we stay with our partners for a lot more reasons than just what it's like in our sex lives.
Mm.
And none of those get taken into account. So, I mean, I think if you can say to your partner, and they're into it, by the way, because if they hate this and it's not their thing, it shouldn't happen. That's not fair. That's not a kind thing to do. But if they are okay with you saying that you think, I don't know who this Jerry is, but I'm going with it. Jerry up the road is looking fine and you wouldn't mind a bit, you know, but I stay with you because, and then you say, you remind your partner of all the amazing things they do and why Jerry might be all about himself and not actually very good beyond that. Then it becomes a bit fun and it can actually turn out to be more reassuring and loving.
Yeah.
And a little bit sparkly. We just have to be, so some couples love this. They love going to a party and watching each other flirt. Because the other thing is, when you see your partner flirting, you're seeing them at their best, perhaps. You're seeing what you fell in love with or why you fancied them and still fancy them. And you're also seeing them attractive to someone else. If you're secure enough and you enjoy that, that can be a turn on, and then you can come home and bring that energy to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it would strike me, as you say, your relationship would already need to be fairly rock solid.
Fairly rock solid, or both of you and both of you like that sort of thing, because you can be rock solid and one of you doesn't like it, or you can be not that solid and both of you like it. Then you might be headed for, you know, somebody might actually go somewhere else then. But, you know, I'm a fan of working on the relationship as the core before you start introducing, you know, different and unusual things that aren't going to actually improve things. They're just going to be a plaster over something that will work for one of you. That's not good relationship.
Mm. If you are considering bringing it up and you're in a relationship, but you're not sure how your partner might react to it, is that really a sign that you just shouldn't bring it up?
Why don't you just ask them?
Because they might be really upset and turn it into a big row. That's why.
Well, for a start, rows aren't always a bad thing, particularly about something like this. And it's a skill we need to work on more, because the more we avoid rows, I'll tell you something, people who don't have rows often don't have great sex lives either, because they're staying in the safety zone, which means they're not talking about the things that give them an edge and bring them vulnerability and intimacy. But you can just say to someone, what do you think about flirting? How do you feel about flirting? Is it something you are comfortable with or not? So you're not actually talking about a person. That's what I mean by asking them. I'm wondering how you would feel if I flirted, or how would you feel if I told you, you know, our builder, I find him very attractive. Mm-hmm. How would you feel about that? I wouldn't like it at all. Okay, good to know. I won't do that. Don't need to do it. I don't need to do it. It's not something you need to do. It's something, if you need to do it, it's probably because you're actually needing to have a different conversation that you're avoiding.
Emily, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was the sex therapist, Emily Power-Smith, who operates out of a caravan in Wexford.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.